Parenting is often lived in the extremes. It's either great joy or chaotic overwhelm. In one moment you're nailing it, and the next you're losing your cool. I want to help you find your way to the messy middle, to a place of balance. You see, balance is a verb, not a state of being. It is a thing you do, not a thing you are. It is an action, a process, a series of micro corrections that you make each and every day to keep yourself feeling centered. We are never truly balanced. We are engaged in the process of balancing. Hello, I'm Dr. Laura Froyen, and this is the Balanced Parent Podcast, where overwhelmed, stressed out, and disconnected parents go to find tools, mindset shifts, and practices to help them stop yelling at the people they love and start connecting on a deeper level, all delivered with heaping doses of grace and compassion. Join me in conversations that will help you get clear on your goals and values and start showing up in your parenting, your relationships, your life with open-hearted authenticity and balance. Let's go. Everybody, this is Dr. Laura Froyen, and on this week's episode of the Balanced Parent Podcast, we are going to be talking about how to become more intentional and present in your parenting with Holly Swenson. She's got a great book out called Stop, Drop, Grow, and Glow, and we're going to dig right into it. So Holly, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Laura. I'm grateful to be here. I am an author on the rise and really on a mission to bring more wellness, joy, and intention to parenting and beyond. And for me, I was formally trained as an RN, BSN RN. I have four beautiful sons who are teaching me every day.
They're our best teacher, right?
I'm a wellness blogger, and I always say I'm a perpetual student of life because I love just this concept of continually learning. So that's a quick backdrop of who I am and what I'm doing.
Okay. So Holly, off the cuff question, what is something you've learned most recent thing you learned, whether it's a small fact from your child or that kind of lit you up?
Well, you know, I think for me, something that the first thought that came to my mind when you asked that question is, I think, so I, you know, having four kids as roommates, you know, I'm always finding fun treasures around the house. And I had a moment where I went down to pull silverware out of my drawer, and I opened the drawer and there was silverware everywhere. Like, it wasn't, you know, the forks and the forks, the knives and the spoons. They were, you know, whoever had emptied the dishwasher had just like thrown them in the drawer. And I use that moment to really like find humor and smile about, you know, the path of what it means to be a parent, and taking a moment to really just infuse that, like, even though that's something very simple, but I think when you're dealing with kids and you've got all these different things, like, you know, these little fires you're putting out or different mm-hmm. things you're trying to mold and help your kids to, you know, to figure out, I really took that moment to smile in a moment that could have been like, oh, why did they not put, you know, these things away right? I'm trying to find more joy in the things that are like letting go of things that really don't matter as much. So if does that make sense? So really trying to find the humor in things that you can just let go of. That was my recent lesson.
Yeah, no, I feel like what you're saying is, you know, the world has handed us so many shoulds that we wear like weights around our necks. And then having an opportunity to shift into curiosity and into delight, that pause, that moment of, okay, so the spoons are not in the right spot, but who says there's a right spot? And what else is true when I look at this drawer? You know, so like, I'm just imagining your kids unloading the dishwasher and trying to do it as fast as they can so they can get back to Lego or get outside to help dad rake, or, you know, just, I'm just imagining kind of what that rushed job of putting the spoons and forks and cutlery away was also a representation of. And I love that invitation to start shifting the way we view those lens, you know, view those things, the lens through which we view all of these little mundane things that, you know, can cause a hiccup or cause us to
have a moment of uncomfortable, of negative feelings when we could be accessing some positives. Not that it's bad to have those negative feelings, but it's interesting to think about that way. Thank you.
Yeah. Just putting a spin on something, like thinking about it in a way that, it's like, this is the work I'm here to do. And yes, I have to, help guide them in the right direction. But sometimes mm-hmm. I can just like, let it be what it is.
Yeah. Let it be what it is. I think that that's really hard. Why do you think that's so hard for us to just let it be and let it go?
Well, I think we have a lot of societal conditioning that mm-hmm. makes it hard for us to let go. I think we have these like storybook images of what it's supposed to look like and feel like. And, life really doesn't always follow the storybook. And so mm-hmm. I think that you have to just learn to meet life, where it is, like just head on, and as joyful as you can. And not every moment will be joyful. But I think when you can just let go, and I love the word surrender. And so I think with parenting, you're asked to surrender in a lot of instances. And so I think when you can just practice that, it will help you shift.
Talk to me a little bit more about surrender. I love that word. I had when I was birthing my kids, I had a stone that had surrender carved into it that I used as kind of a focal point. I feel very curious about kind of what that word means to you, what it means to surrender as a parent.
Ultimately, I think surrender for me is that practice of letting go and trusting that you're on your journey for a reason. And also, like, I think, for me too, it's like letting go of some of the control that you think you have to like manage so much all the time. I mean, you are doing a lot of managing, but I think sometimes you can just, for me, the word that's showing up a lot is soften, like just soften in those places, maybe where you feel tension or where you feel stress, and kind of surrender to what life is asking you and meeting it with a little more gentility and grace. And so for me, that's kind of what's ringing true for surrender, at least at this point in my life.
Yeah. For this past year, I went through a really hard year personally and with one of my kids, and I felt very brittle. And the way you're talking about softening and surrendering feels like it could be an antidote to that brittleness, that just like the next little thing is going to crack me or break me versus becoming a little bit more supple, a little bit more resilient. And I feel like I'm in that place now. I'm trying to think about how I got there through a lot of rest. Just a lot of rest. What are some ways for folks who are feeling really stuck in that kind of brittle, hard, easy to crack, one last straw is going to break our back, kind of in that place, to move from that place of, I can't even say the words, but, to a more soft and supple, surrendered place? How can we, like, what are the steps to get there?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think it will look a little different to each person, but I think the first step is self-awareness and knowing that that's where you're at in life, like having that consciousness enough to like, wow, I'm in a space that's maybe not where I really want to be, but so I think having that awareness is really a good first step. And then I also really value the importance of self-care and taking time for yourself every day, because I think a lot of parents, especially, feel, worn down, or they're, like you said, like the word brittle, you use the word brittle, just because we are always on. And so you don't have that like rest and reset time to really nurture yourself. But I think that if you start cultivating more, time for yourself, so maybe it's meditation, maybe it's, making time for more exercise or whatever it is that helps you find your reset button, making time to take care of yourself a little bit every day. And maybe it's just breathing. Maybe it's 5 minutes and that's all you have, but taking a moment to intentionally sit down and breathe or just practice awareness there will help you to start finding more softness in your life. Mm-hmm. And also maybe finding more gratitude for those hard parts that are teaching you lessons that you don't always want to learn, but that you're being asked to learn.
Can you give me an example of what that like looks like for you?
Well, I think, I don't know that I have like a great example to pull from, but I think it's just, maybe it's a conflict you're having with your kiddo, or maybe, cell phones are a big hot button issue with older kids, that your kids want to, trying to balance screen time or, that sort of thing. And so it's an area that creates some tension, I think, for a lot of families. And so I think, A, like I also believe in good boundary setting. So teaching your kids healthy ways to engage with, like if we're talking about cell phones, like how do you set boundaries where it feels good to you and to them? And that's not always, you're not always going to jive there, but how do you help them form, healthy habits with electronics or, with their device. And then how can it also help you not have to feel like you have to micromanage everything they're doing, if that makes sense. So.
Sure, yeah. I'm thinking about myself, how I moved through this most recent time period. I think I had to give myself just, okay, so what is one thing I can do that I know I can do on a regular basis? I really had to find that, just the lowest the lowest possible fruit on the tree to that I could pluck regularly. I mean, for me, it was getting back into therapy, into regular therapy, like regular sessions with my therapist. In the past, in other moments of brittleness kind of in my life, it's been making time for 30 minutes of daily movement, usually yoga, of just like getting into my body. I have felt incredibly privileged and blessed with a partner who really prioritizes my health and well-being and makes that time super available for me. And I do that for him too. That's part of our, relationship. I feel very curious. I think that moms feel, we hear a lot, make time for self-care. And then the reality of doing that is so hard. Do you have any tips for moms who are maybe in that place where they know they need it? They're having that brittle feeling, and like to just to get those 5 minutes to even, because I mean, I know that people say we all have the same number of hours in the day, but I mean, to the mom with, three, four kids, all under five, it feels like a lot. It feels very hard.
Yes. So here's my advice. And, we have four boys and, they're getting a little older now, but, they're all still at home. And, for me, where I found that I can really tap into some of my own self-care is sometimes it's early in the morning before my family even gets up. And I know that that sometimes doesn't feel the best, depending on what your habits and rhythms are. Like not everybody loves getting up early in the morning, but for me, that's where I can fit it in. On days that are really busy and I really like don't have time during the day, it's like, okay, I try to make, 15 to 30 minutes to, sit and find some quiet space. Or, if you're a night owl, maybe you do it after your kids go to bed and you take some time to do something that fills your cup. And again, I think it comes down to practice. Because I think it can be easy to resist or put it off or like, you need it, but oh, I'll do it
Why do
tomorrow.
we do that?
I don't know because we don't feel good. I mean, we pay the price. So I also think it's a part of it's just, it's practice and it's making it your habit. And once it becomes part of your habit, then it feels easier to access.
Yeah, I mean, that makes complete sense. So for so long, my kids have always been early risers, and for so long, they went to bed early. And now they're older, they're 11 and 8 and a half, and they stay up until like 8, 8:30, sometimes 9, because they're reading and everything. And I used to have in my head, before, this was a really rough transition for us, because before, we'd put them to bed, they'd stay in their rooms, and my husband and I had an hour or two every single night for ourselves. We'd get to, hang out, talk on the couch. I'd maybe do some painting. I mean, we would just get to have our time. And when they started to stay up late, all of a sudden, my husband and I were like, wait a second, what about us? When
What
are we
happened to
going
our time, our
to,
sacred hour?
yes, our sacred time? And then we have the neighbor kids that my kids love to play with. And I was starting to feel really lonely for my kids, because normally they would come home and stay home with us, but now they've been running off with the neighbor kids. And I started thinking about, okay, so now they're in this new stage. They're becoming a little bit more peer oriented. That's really developmentally appropriate. They're staying up later. Now I need to take that hour that they're off playing with their friends that I normally would have with them, and have that for be my time for myself. And then, I don't need it when they go to bed. But I think that, like, as our kids age, as they move into new developmental stages, we need to be flexible with, Like, so if we've gotten really creative when they're young and then they grow, then all of a sudden, we're bereft because we've lost, the things we put into place. We have to be flexible and creative in making new space for ourselves as our kids age.
Absolutely. I totally believe that. And also too, I mean, sometimes it can be even as simple as like penciling in, like looking at your week and penciling it in like something on your calendar so that it makes you more drawn to do that. Like make space for yourself to, okay, I see I have an hour here. Like you said, like shifting it to like when you're, your kiddo's out playing with his friends, like that's your window. And so really just, making, time to take care of yourself. It's so important. It'll make you a better parent and a better person.
Absolutely. I have also found for myself that having it as a part of like my not just scheduled with myself, but scheduled with someone else, like attending a Zumba class or attending an art class, having it in my calendar, something I've signed up for and paid for, really helps me make those things a priority. So I have my Monday morning Zumba class that I love. I have a Wednesday morning yoga class that's in person that I love. I have regular painting classes at an art center that I love to go to. And having those things where people are expecting me to be there, and if I'm not there, they're like, "Where were you? We missed you." That feels really good and helps me make myself a priority.
That's amazing. So you're doing some really good work. I think that's fabulous.
I mean, it's not easy though. And again, there's privilege there. I have the financial privilege of being able to work in those spaces. I have the time privilege of having a partner who's able to be home with the kids during those times. There's lots of privilege that goes into it. Okay, so I would love to talk a little bit about your framework that you talk about in your book. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So, I created a framework and my framework is actually in my title, Stop, Drop, Grow, and Glow. I wanted it to be something that was kind of easy to access and remember. And so, the ultimate, premise is that I'm hopeful that it will help, really revolutionize the way you parent and help parents align with who they want to be and how they show up for their family. Like that's really, I just want to create more wellness in the world. And so that was really, kind of what this is rooted in. And so STOP is really about assessing where you are to date, both as a parent, but also as an individual, because I think it's important to take stock of both and not, I think as parents, we take everyone else's stuff on and sometimes we forget our own identity. And so I think it's important to separate the two and do just some internal gazing on what's going well in your life. And maybe if you have some sticky parts that aren't going well, maybe just, kind of curl up with those and, figure out, how you can make improvements or, where you need to put in a little more work to get to where you want to be. And if you feel like you're on track and things are going well, then that's also that's also helpful to have that your own internal feedback of like, you know what, I'm on track and things are going well. So I for me, it's the first, the first area is stop, to just stop and check in with you.
I really liked that phrase, internal gazing. That just felt very delightful. I feel like so much we put so much scrutiny and pressure and judgment on ourselves. And you're talking about something completely different. You're talking about open, curious noticing,
Yes.
within ourselves. Yeah, that feels so much better.
I'm glad that lands well. and again, these are just really brief. There's a lot more depth to it, but I'm just wanting giving, kind of giving you drops of what this entails. And so drop is really working to drop any drama, trauma, or personal past lived history that's keeping you from living in the now and really like kind of holding you back from stepping into, being in the present. And I think when you have those things in life that are kind of pulling you away from really showing up, for yourself and for your family or even the outside world in a way that where you feel distracted or kind of fractured, I think it's important to just do some work on yourself to see if there are any areas that it feels like, oh, that's kind of ringing a bell, or oh, maybe that really I never thought about it, but it's more of an opportunity to again cultivate curiosity, but also to maybe do some deeper work if there are things in your life that you feel like need some attention. I do
Yeah.
so.
And so you're not just talking about like pushing them aside, ignoring them, kind of that kind of, I don't know, uber positive, like just let that go. It's in the past. You're talking about, okay, so if we're really going to drop them, we need to do the work so that we can shed them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean forget it. It doesn't mean forget it, but it means not letting it take away from what you have to give.
Yeah.
Because even if we think we like, oh, well, that happened, you know, it's like, okay, wait a minute, it's still there, it's still breathing. And I think when you reach a certain point in life and you're ready to put the work in and release it in a healthy way, I think it'll help you step into more wellness.
Okay, and so what are some of the ways that folks can go through the process of dropping other than therapy?
Right. Well, I mean, some of this work is really done, even on your own. I mean, you don't even necessarily, sometimes, there are things in life where a therapist is really valuable and can be that sounding board that you need to really work through things. Because some of life's, everyone's journey is different. And so sometimes having that outside resource is invaluable. Some of this stuff you can work through on your own. And then I think it also, like, in terms of looking at, some of your, like maybe your family lineage, are there areas that you want to, maybe certain things in your childhood you really love, but maybe there were certain things that were, you're like, wow, I don't want to pass this on to the next generation. So I want to shift out of, what was familiar to me so that I can create a healthier platform for my children as they grow and then raise the next generation. So there's some depth to it for sure of really getting in there and doing, I think getting creative and creative and curious again. I think,
Yeah.
I think it's important.
I really love internal family systems work and like inner child work for that process, that you're discussing. I really love digging into those th things and like connecting to our inner world or our parts who carry all of our stories and do all of our meaning making. I like getting to know those parts because so often they're running the show kind of behind the scene, and then once we get to know them, hold them to the light, ask them what they need, how we can support them, they allow us to stop acting from old wounds, and kind of be more available to the present and the now. So I really like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for that. And then grow is, it's really learning to expand your awareness and as a parent and lean on habits that will support and nourish you on a deeper level. And so again, I think it's always an individualized journey of what calls to you for what that means. But for me, like, mindfulness practices such as meditation. So I've made meditation a big part of my life and I try to make time to create space in that way for me because it helps me to find my peace.
What kind of meditation do you do?
I kind of like, I'll just do like a mindfulness meditation or I'll sit and I even infuse like a little bit of prayer into my, like, it's more of like a gratitude prayer of like just being, like remembering all the things I have to be grateful for or wishing the world well. I think we're living in challenging times. And so I try to, it's like, put my good energy out into the world in a way that I hope is helpful. I believe, energy is, it's powerful. I think where you put your thoughts and your attention. So I try to create a space of goodness for myself and then hopefully for my family and for the world. Like that's my time
How
to
did you
do.
get started on mindfulness and meditation?
Yep. So I, for me, I actually, when my, it was probably seven or even close to 8 years ago now that I went actually to a wellness retreat. And it was then that I realized like I really hadn't taken the time to like stop or be still. Like I just was like always running, like with my head, we have four kids and we started with twins and we had one 12 months later. So it was like having triplets. And so it was really a lot. And so I just hadn't really taken a break. And so taking this wellness journey for me, it showed me the importance of getting quiet, of making space in your life to find stillness and honor your, who you are and what you bring. And so that was kind of what really set me on the path of making more time in my life. And I'm really grateful that landed for me.
I feel like lots of the folks that I talk to about mindfulness or meditation, they feel really confined by the need to do it right. And I'm kind of curious if you had that process as you started to make kind of your mindfulness practice your own and individualize it for yourself. And any tips for people who are, I don't know, looking for permission to kind of just do it the way that's right for them.
Absolutely. I think you should take the stress element out of it. You're not, there's no wrong way to meditate. I think it's really about, it can even be as simple as counting numbers, to keep your mind like from thinking about, it could be one, two, one, two, or like a sweet mantra, something that helps keep your mind focused on just being in the present. But, or you can do a guided meditation. You could even, there's so much online, you could put on something, on your
Yeah,
phone and
Spotify
listen.
has so many great
Yes.
guided meditations.
So there's a ton out there. Like if you are like, I'm not feeling creative or I can't stay on track, put on something that helps keep you
Yeah.
supported in your meditation. It can be, there's a lot available that now that there that never used to be.
So as I've been dabbling with, I was recently diagnosed with ADHD, and as I've been kind of dabbling and accepting my neurodiversity and understanding why sometimes mindfulness is so hard for me, it's because I have an interest-based nervous system. And I have found that guided visualizations are like my joy when it comes to things where the person speaking takes you on this journey where you're in your mind kind of constructing a world that, and as you follow along, oh, I love them.
Yeah, those are powerful.
And my nervous system loves them. And, I think that there's some idea that those aren't, real meditation. That real meditation is sitting in silence with a blank and empty mind. And of course, we know that that's not true,
Absolutely. Well, and that's again where I think you individualize it. Like what feels good to you and your body. And like I love that you say like that is your jam. Like that's what makes you feel like nourished and like and to be able to go on these creative journeys where, it's pretty powerful, like where your mind will take you sometimes. And so I think that that's giving yourself freedom to also try on different meditations. Like if you're curious about it and you've never done it, to like maybe you try a few different types and see which one like strikes your fancy.
I love that. Okay. And then what about the glow piece of things?
Yes. So glow. Oh, I wanted to just mention a couple other things
Oh,
about glow.
sure. Yeah.
Because I talk about mindfulness practice, but I also want to just say, like, I really want to drive home the importance of getting good sleep. Like for, as parents, as much sleep as you can possibly get, and for your kids, like making it a priority in your life because sleep will change your life for the better if you make time for it. And then I also wanted to just talk about the importance of eating good food, like eating as, clean whole food as often as possible to keep your system balanced and really able to function at an optimal level. I think diet is such an important part of your health. And so I wanted to mention that. And then the lastly in this section, I'm just going to mention the importance of learning from your children. For me, my children have taught me more about myself, my strengths, my weaknesses, my capacity to love, and my desire to grow, change, and persevere than any other humans to date. And I think that while we're teaching our kids, we're raising them up, I think we also need to value what they're teaching us, and they're showing us where we still have work to do as well. And so I just in this grow section, I just want to give a shout out to our kids for all that they bring to the table.
Yeah, I think that that's so important. It's they're just being themselves. They're just being kids. That certainly isn't their job to help us grow, but they do it so beautifully, don't
Oh yeah.
they?
Oh
And I
yeah.
mean, just being open to the invitation is so good, so important, because I think it would be easy to miss so many opportunities when we stay stuck and rigid in that, that we don't have any room to grow, that we don't have any room to learn, that we know best, it's my way or the highway. Like we
Yes.
really miss out on so much richness in life.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm with you
beautiful.
on that. And then glow is really, kind of taking what you learned from my framework and applying it. But within this, there's also, we've kind of already touched on it, but the need for self-care. I believe that self-care is not selfish, that it's really a necessary tool to help you thrive as a human being. And when you make that time for yourself, it will help you to glow and be as radiant as you can be. And I think we need to reframe, what self-care is and really support people in finding that in their lives, especially parents who don't have a lot of time for it.
There's something
And
you talk. Oh,
go
sorry.
ahead.
I was just going
No,
to
you
ask
go.
that. So there's something that you talk about, kind of taking care of yourself as a person so that you can be a better parent. And I wonder if we can just talk about that a little bit, because I think sometimes when we become parents, it's like we put that the person of ourselves off to the side. They sit on the shelf and they're just going to hang out on the shelf until our kids are 18, and then we'll get to be them again. And I really love the invitation to bring that person into the here and now, and that we get to be a full person
Yes.
regardless of our parent status. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I believe it's so important to keep nurturing who you are as a person and not put that on pause for 18 years because that's not healthy. Because when you stuff yourself down, you're not able to, like, it's such a gift you give your kids when they can witness you being who you are. You know, like if you're living out your dreams, or I talk about the importance of keep dreaming as a parent, because I think when they witness that, it also inspires them, and it will teach them that when they become parents, they can still, achieve these things that are important to them. And being a parent for me has been like the biggest job I've ever taken on, and such a joy. And I mean, it's all of the emotions. And so I think for me, like being a mom comes first, but I am stepping into some of these other areas where I wrote a book and I was able to do these things and be of service in a way that's really meaningful to me. And it's filling my cup in a different way than being a mom. And so, and one, I, like I said, being a mom is number one for me, but it's really also awesome to be able to nurture some of these other areas in life for me that are helping me achieve things that feel meaningful. And I just can't, drive the importance of that home enough, that whatever that is for you, to make time in your life for it.
I think that lots of the parents I talk to feel a little lost in knowing even who they are now that they're parents. Those early years of motherhood shift so much in our identity, so much changes. And then we have this kind of untethered feeling, where we don't really know who we even are anymore as we kind of emerge out of the baby years and
Yes.
into the toddler years, and we get catch a breath and we look around and we don't even know ourselves. Do you have any guidance for parents who are there and who are looking to find out, okay, wait a second, now who am I again?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I think it goes back to that like awareness thing. Like, first of all, like realizing like, wow, I haven't thought about who I am for, 3 years. Like, whoa. So I think it is just like about sparking your own, sparking that thought of like, how have I put myself on pause, and what is it going to take for me to regain who I am and my own identity, and while being a parent at the same time? So I think
And while
it's,
being compassionate towards ourselves, right? Because it makes so much sense that we put ourselves on pause. The world and the culture that we're in tells us that we matter so little,
And
and
you're
that's not
so immersed.
true.
Yeah, I mean, you are, you're so immersed in being with your kids and your babies, and trying to do the best job that you can for them. And so I think it is just touching base with who you are, and this podcast like this, where maybe it plants the seed of like, oh wow, maybe that is where I am, and I haven't thought about that, but maybe I need to, take a minute for myself to figure out what my priorities are and where I am and who I am, because it matters.
And it's something that I've been thinking about a lot with in regards to my own mom. So I've noticed as she re has retired and has kind of fully like stepped into her hobbies and what kind of what she loves to do, it's been just really interesting to get to know her on a, like, I don't know, like a more adult to adult relationship. And I think about how delightful that is and how impossible that would have been for me to really understand as a kid. And yet she probably already ha like had those things going on that I just had no awareness of. And that's been really helpful for me to think about with my own kids now, that I can have these parts of myself that maybe they aren't even aware of because they're young and they're self-centered and they're kids, and that's their focus is on themselves and growing up as it should be. And maybe they'll look back on their childhood as adults and see the glimmers of the person that is me, woven in throughout there,
Absolutely. And that's kind of the joy of life, and I think also just hitting these different stages in life, and then being able to reflect and look and see now what you didn't see then, and the gift in that, I think it's really cool.
I agree. Okay, I did want to ask you, I want to be respectful of your time, but within in the stop section of your book, you brought in the five rights of parenthood, and I feel or of parenting, and I felt super curious about it. So this comes from your world as a nurse. Why don't you just explain a little bit about that and share them with us?
Sure. Yeah. So this was kind of a spinoff. So there's something called the Five Rights of Medication Administration, which it's a quick way to make sure you're giving the right medication at the right time. It's the right dose, those sorts of things. And so for me, I wanted to put a parenting spin on it and create something that would be kind of easy to recall for parents to like kind of do a quick self-assessment of themselves. And so that was kind of how this took shape. And so I'll run through them briefly with you. And again, I think for me, it was really just a way for parents to be able to touch base with how you're presenting as a parent. And so for the first one is right now. So it's learning to be in the moment, not distracted, doing, three other things. I mean, you're going to have moments in life where you are working or you're busy and you can't give your child your full attention. But I think it's important to carve out time that's devoted to being present. And they feel that. They feel when you're like all in with them or when you're like, mom's kind of here, but she's kind of doing, three other things and not really like, as available as she could be. And so I wanted to plant that seed for people of what does that mean to show up right now for your family. And number two is right intent. And so this is really being intentional with the choices you make, the guidelines you set, and how you're treating your child. Like what does that look like for you? I think, if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, maybe you should, reflect
Take
on
a
that.
pause.
Take a pause, so really just curl up with like, okay, are you showing up in a way that you want to be showing up? And then the third one is the right use of speech. And I really believe that your voice is a tool of creation. And so it can create either a positive tone or a negative, mood, depending on where you're at. And so I think that it's a critical component of effective parenting is really learning how to speak in a way that you want to be speaking. Again, this comes down to like being conscious, okay, of like, oh, and you're going to misspeak at times. You're going to say things that you wish that you're like, oh man, I wish I hadn't said that. And that's part of being human. I mean, we all make mistakes. We all say things we're like, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. But for whatever reason, you did. And so I think it's just, practicing self-compassion, but also trying to get more intentional with how you're speaking to the ones you love. And then the fourth one is the right use of power. And so as a parent, you are the guiding light for your child, and you are the one who decides on discipline, you set boundaries, and you have the final say on whatever issue arises, during the 18 years that they're under your roof. And so I wanted to really just create again this like plant the seed of like how are you showing up and how are you using power in your family? Like, what does this look like?
The idea of power with rather than power over with our kids.
And then the last one is the right use of love. And so this one's my favorite. I really believe that love is the cure for all that ails us, parenting and beyond. And so I believe that you should tell your children you love them as often as you can because it matters and it makes a difference for them and it makes them feel valued and supported and cared for. And I think I also mentioned, even as they get older and maybe they don't say it back to you the way you wish they would, they still feel it coming from you and it makes a difference. So keep giving
Absolutely.
that love.
And I mean, probably too, like if we're using this as a self-assessment, like, am I using love unconditionally, or am I attaching strings to it, just maybe out of habit, or because I've got my own stuff going on, and do I need, what do I need to do to release those strings? So am I making, the proper use of love? I really like that. I also really love if we're using it as an assessment, the right now, like, which now am I in? Am I fully present, or am I being led by the past or led by the few worries about the future? You know, like what story am I living? You know, it's and situating myself. Is my voice coming from the past? You know, maybe my mom's voice is falling out of my mouth. You know, like those types. I love this approach. Those five, you know, just check-ins, because it's. I think we all get the hint when we are kind of stepping outside of our values in parenting, but it's really hard to have, you know, to kind of know what to do with that. When we get that kind of like, ooh, that didn't feel right. And having a, like a five-step things. Okay. These are the five things I'm going to check in, you know, right now, right intent, right speech, right power, right love, you know, like just, I really like having that brief check-in. So I appreciate you sharing that with us so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right. So where can folks go to learn more from you and follow you?
Yes. So you can visit me online at liveyourglow.live. And then I've got links to Instagram and Facebook. And then you can, you know, my book is available anywhere you buy your book, your book. So Amazon, Barnes and Noble, all those great platforms. And then my book also just launched on Audible and anywhere you buy your audiobooks. So
lovely.
For busy parents who don't have time to open a book, I wanted to create a platform that felt easy and accessible.
Yeah. Is it your voice on the book?
It's my voice. Yes.
Lovely.
I recorded it. Yes.
I bet that was lots of fun to record.
It was good. Yeah, it was great.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much, Holly. I so appreciate what you're putting out into the world.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to visit with you.
Okay, so thanks for listening today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. And if it was helpful, leave me a review. That really helps others find the podcast and join us in this really important work of creating a parenthood that we don't have to escape from and creating a childhood for our kids that they don't have to recover from. And if you're listening, grab a screenshot and tag me on Instagram so that I can give you a shout out. And definitely go follow me on Instagram. I'm at Laura Froyen, PhD. That's where you can get a behind the scenes look at what balanced conscious parenting looks like in action with my family. And plus I share a lot of other really great resources there too. All right, that's it for me today. I hope that you keep taking really good care of your kids and your family and each other, and most importantly, of yourself. And just remember, balance is a verb, and you're already doing it. You've got this.